And we have two people in the Bible that God had made promises to, but they couldn't wait on him. They got impatient and they had to manipulate the situation or help God out. Now, instead of waiting, Abraham and Sarah had to help God out. That God promised that he was going to give them a child. Abraham, who was 100, and Sarah, who was 90 years old, who were both past the concept of childbearing, but yet and still God promised that he was going to give them a child.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God.
Good morning. I want to share with you a message. Actually, we visited this passage during Advent season. And when I was on vacation during Christmas, I went to a church. And the pastor, he was preaching on the same passage that I preached on from Luke chapter 2. But he looked at it from a different angle. And, you know, he started my thinking process. And so, thank you. So I said, he brought something out there. So I wanted to piggyback on this passage that I preached during Advent and then kind of look at it from a different angle this morning. But in Luke chapter 2, and begin reading in verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was devout and righteous, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." In verse 25, it says that Simeon was a righteous and devout man, but look what it says specifically of him. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah who was promised to come. Now, as you look at the promise of the Messiah, we read many promises of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah promised that the Messiah would come over 700 years before Simeon's time. And yet and still, Simeon found himself waiting for the promise of the coming Messiah. And so I want to speak to you on this subject today as we take this thought from Simeon's life, waiting on God, that this is the big payoff. And, you know, I have a picture of a man holding some cash in his hand, and it's not cash that's the big payoff. I just thought that that would be an image that would catch our attention. It's not cash that's the big payoff, but what is the big payoff? The big payoff is when we wait for God. Many people get ahead of God. Many people want to rush before God, and when you get before God, it's not his payoff that you receive, but it's your payoff that you receive. But when we wait on God, we get the big payoff, and I want to show you that from the scripture this morning. Now, if we are all honest, we have to confess that We live in an instant world that demands things right away. We want things and we want them right away. Now, the problem is that that doesn't fit into God's way of working. You know, we live in this instant world. I was reading somewhere where it talked about we live in a microwave and computer age. It said it seems the only people I know with a lot of patience are the doctors. We have fast planes and fast cars, good roads, and plenty of gas, yet we are always late. We have instant mashed potatoes, but they are not as good as the peeled and cooked kind. Come on now. I tell you what. Amen. I'll testify there. We remember the wringer washers and rinsing clothes in a big tub of water. Today, we have hot water, automatic washing machines, clothes dryers, dishwashers, vacuum cleaners, yet and still it seems like we can't get anything done. We live in this fast world. We live in this microwave world. We live in a world when people come to the cash register. If it's not moving fast enough, we make a hand motion to speed things up. Waiting does not fit our lifestyle. I was reading about a man in the airport whose flight was canceled and they were rebooking. And the man came up to the attendant and said, "I must be on this flight and I must be on it right now. And I just want to let you know I'm flying first class." And the attendant said, "Sir, we are working hard to accommodate everybody and doing the best that we can to get people on flight." And the man said, "Do you know who I am?" And the attendant picked up the microphone and said, "We have a passenger here at the gate who doesn't know who he is. If anyone knows his identity, can you please come to gate 17? We want to hurry up. We want to hurry up." And I was thinking, you know, a lot of times, and this, just think about this, that we want to hurry up all the time, right? And many times we hurry up to wait. We hurry up to get to the doctor's office, and we sit there and wait. We hurry up to get to the job. We hurry up to get to that appointment, and we come to a traffic light, and we have to wait. It seems like we are just geared up to want to hurry through life. Somebody came and was asked to sum up American life, and they summed it up in three words: hurry, worry, and bury. And that's about the size of things. You know, we hurry up so that we can worry and so we can die. And that's what our life is characterized by. But I thank God this morning that we have an example in the Bible of a man who waited. And if you look at your notes, you'll see that in verse 25, he was a just, devout, and a man that was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see that he read the Old Testament prophecies about a coming Messiah. And as I said earlier, Isaiah had prophesied some 700 years earlier about a coming Messiah. And Simeon was waiting for the consolation. He was waiting for him to come. In verse 26, he was told that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Look at that. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." He could depart in peace because his eyes had seen the Messiah. He says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And as I said earlier, what was he doing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we see that his waiting paid off. His waiting paid off. What are we talking about today? We're talking about the big payoff. The big payoff. Oh, no, it's not with cash. It's not necessarily with material possessions. But what is the big payoff? The big payoff is when we wait on God and we get the best that he has for us. We see that as he waited on God, he was led by the Spirit. It says that several times in this passage. And then he not only was led by the Spirit, but look how it paid off, that he had waited all these years for the Messiah to come. And what? He actually, in verse 28, got the hold of the Messiah in his hands. Look what it says in verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms. That all these years that he expected and that he waited for the Messiah, now he was able to embrace the one that he had waited for. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning that only good things can come forth when you wait on the Lord. I don't know what it is. Amen, amen. I don't know what it is that you're going through today. I don't know what it is that you are dealing with. But I just want to let you know that if you wait on God, that something good is going to come out of it. And I'm going to show you here in a second that if we get ahead of God and try to do our own thing, then we can only expect tragedy and difficulties to arise out of that. As a result of his waiting on God, it paid off, because what does he do now in verses 28 through 30? He praises God. See, at the end of your waiting, there ought to be a praise. At the end of your waiting, you ought to take time to thank God. So look what he says in verse 28. He says, then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, let us thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. And then, as he waited on God, he realized this, that God had kept his promise. That God promised that he was going to send the Messiah, and at that point, he realized that God had kept his promise. As we look at this idea of waiting on God, what does it mean to wait on God? Waiting on God is to actively seek God's will while confidently and expectantly allowing his plan to be unveiled. God already knows in his mind what he's going to do. It's just a matter of him showing it to us. He already knows what he's going to do. Nothing takes God by surprise. Do you think that God is up in heaven trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow? That he doesn't know what's going to happen 10,000 years from now? God knows everything that there is to know and everything that there will be to know. And God has a plan and purpose in these things. So it's just a matter of us to line up with him, to wait on him, and find out what it is that he's trying to do. God is up to something, and we just sometimes need to find out what he's doing. To wait on God means that you are seeking his will and allowing him to guide you and direct you to that place where he wants you to go. Now, waiting is not trying to manipulate the situation, or, as some of us would like to think, to help God out. You know, we think, well, I'm going to wait, but I got to help God out. We have two examples in the Bible of people who God had One of the things that Simeon realized, what? That God fulfills his promises. And we have two people in the Bible that God had made promises to, but they couldn't wait on him. They got impatient, and they had to manipulate the situation or help God out. Now, instead of waiting, Abraham and Sarah had to help God out. That God promised that he was going to give them a child. Abraham, who was 100, and Sarah, who was 90 years old, who were both past the concept of childbearing, but yet and still God promised that he was going to give them a child. But they had to help God out. So Sarah comes up with this idea of giving her handmaid to Abraham so that they could have a child like God promised. And so they had a child, Ishmael. And God said, that is not the child that I promised. That is not the child of promise. That you got ahead of me. You tried to take the situation into your own hands and do your own thing, and now you just made a mess out of it. And I tell you today, saints, you know, we thank God, you know, for Ishmael, because he was a human being. He was a child of Abraham. But do you know that most of the problems that we hear about on the news today in the world are a result of Abraham and Sarah getting ahead of God? That's where most of the problems that we hear in our world today, in France, ISIS, Taliban, all these other things, are a result of two couple or a couple that got ahead of God. And so, what am I here to say? I'm here to say when you get ahead of God, it's only going to be confusion. When you get ahead of God, you're just going to make a mess out of things. You know, we need to realize that when we get in this race for God, that I'll say it like this. It's on your mark. Get set. Wait. Wait. You know, wait on the Lord. In Samuel, king, Saul, he was about to go into battle, and he was a little concerned about how the battle was going to take place, and he knew that you got to make an offering before you go so that, you know, you can please the Lord. And so Samuel said, look, I'm on the way, I'll make the offering. But Saul got impatient, and he took the situation into his own hands, and he went into the altar, and he offered a sacrifice, and as soon as he got done, Samuel showed up, and Samuel rebuked him. Now, listen to this. It was at that point that God began to wean the kingdom away from Saul and give it to David. Because he tried to get ahead of God. I hope I can get this message through to you today. That nothing good ever comes from getting ahead of God. Nothing. Nothing. If you want to make a mess out of your life, if you want to make a mess out of things, you go ahead and get ahead of God. See, the problem is that we have too much self in us. We have too much fight, and so it's hard for us to sit back and watch things and wait on things because we are in this mode of always making something happen. But that's not God's way. I was watching the news a couple of weeks ago, and I went back and pulled up this article. Many of you probably have heard this story. It was about a woman who crashed, and nobody found her for 5 days. And she actually had to have her feet amputated because they were crushed inside of the car. And here she lay in the car. This was in Colorado. About 80 miles west of Denver, that she had been reported missing on April the 29th, but nobody had seen her since April 27th, and that was the day that her car had crashed. She was about 80 feet down an embankment off of the highway. Her car had struck multiple trees and rolled over several times and landed on its top. And there she lay for 5 days, and all she could do was wait. Wait. Couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't do anything. Cold nights, and I'm sure hungry, thirsty. 5 days, all she could do was wait. And the problem with many of us is that we can get out of a situation. We can manipulate a situation. We can maneuver a situation. And sad to say that for some people, the only way that God is going to get them to wait is to put them on their back. And that's not the way that we want to wait on God. So waiting is not trying to manipulate or to help God out. I began to think about who needs to wait. There are certain people that need to wait. I just jotted down a few people that I thought. Now, there's probably a lot more than this. It maybe this might not be your situation today, right? This might not be you. But so you put down your situation. A single person who is looking for a mate, the worst thing you can do is try to make something happen. Wait. You got to wait. Somebody who has been done wrong and wants to seek revenge or seek vengeance. The only thing you can do is what? Wait. You can't go out and try to get revenge on your own. The only thing you can do is just wait. A person going through a financial crisis. You can go out and try to maneuver and manipulate. Now, let me say this, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. You know, I don't think that waiting is if God is showing you to be doing something, then you need to be doing what he's showing you to do. And I'm not saying just sit back and do nothing. I'm just saying as far as the situation is concerned, like if you got a job then and you're going through a financial problem, you can't say, well, no, I'm not going to work. I'm going to wait on God. No, you can't do that. All right, that's not waiting. That's being foolish. All right. So if you're going through a financial crisis and you're doing everything that you know that you need to do, then you need to wait. If you are praying for the salvation of a loved one, the only thing you can do is wait. Now, I tell people all the time that there are three things that you can actually do. Number one is pray for them. Number two is love them. And number three, serve them. You know, that's what you need to do. Don't keep beating them up with the gospel. Don't keep beating them down with the gospel. If you shared the gospel, if you made it plain to them, then at that point you can pray for them, love them, and serve them, and then wait on the Lord. And we got people sitting here today that are a result of somebody who prayed for them and waited. Amen. I see hands going up. That prayed for them and waited.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Big Payoff, Waiting on God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.